You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up Here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, 7:06. Glad you're with us here on Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back next week. She is on vacation. Just real quick, we're moving on to headlines in just a second and stuff you need to know. But Tyler had an answer to our last question. When does Up North begin? And it made me laugh. If Wisconsin was a plum with a pit at its center, to consider where North begins, through Pittsville you must enter. Tyler is a poet, and I bet he knows it. Thank you, Tyler, for bringing us a little levity and a smile to Parker and my faces. We are two cranky, curmudgeonly human beings, and you made us both laugh and smile, so we appreciate it. Because now we have to get into headlines, which will probably not make us laugh and smile. Let's start with the ongoing war with Iran, the war of choice. Two regional officials tell the Associated Press that the United States and Iran are signaling they will hold a new round of ceasefire talks in Islamabad as a fragile two-week truce is due to expire. Pakistan-led mediators received confirmation that the top negotiators will arrive in Islamabad early Wednesday. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to brief reporters. In other headlines, Pakistan is preparing for the round of talks, even though President Donald Trump appeared to throw cold water on hopes for reaching an agreement to end the war. He told Bloomberg News yesterday that he's highly unlikely to renew the ceasefire set to expire Wednesday. Well, it is Tuesday, and it's Taco Tuesday, and maybe he will run true to form today. If you know, you know. In other headlines, Iran's foreign ministry called for the release of the Iranian cargo vessel seized by the U.S. Navy on Sunday, as well as its sailors, crew, and their families. Iran has vowed to retaliate for the seizure. And finally, in headlines from the Persian Gulf, oil prices are drifting lower today, reflecting tentative hopes for a new round of negotiations on the war with Iran. Brent crude, which was my rap name back in the day, Parker. That was, yeah.
Wow. Didn't know you were a rapper. Cool.
Well, I have a lot of skeletons in my closet. Nice. Well, that is Brent crude in this case, not the recording artist, but the global oil benchmark is down 0.4% on the day at $95.10 a barrel. WTI, the U.S. benchmark, has inched down by 0.6% to $86.90 a barrel. So those are the headlines having to do with the war. But there is always more stuff you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yikes, that guy is very foul-mouthed, but I enjoy it immensely. First thing you need to know, Governor Evers is seeking help from the state's congressional delegation in obtaining federal aid from the Trump administration as Wisconsin recovers from another historic round of storms that brought tornadoes, hail, and flooding to communities throughout the state. On Saturday, Evers sent a letter to the state's two U.S. senators and eight U.S. representatives asking for their assistance in persuading Donald Trump to reconsider his previous denial of some aid after the thousand-year flood that devastated multiple counties last August and to approve assistance for this spring's storm damage. Take a second and think about that, that the governor of a state has to talk to congressional representatives to literally beg the president to release funds to help his state. Doesn't seem right, does it? Well, the Trump administration's denials and delayed responses to previous requests, quote, have left Wisconsin more vulnerable to this next wave of storms and flooding. Wisconsin families, businesses, and local tribal governments will need a strong federal partnership in the weeks and months ahead. And I am writing today to ask you for your early engagement on behalf of our state. That was part of the letter that Tony Evers wrote to our congressional delegation. The governor declared a state of emergency on April 15th and activated the National Guard to assist with response and recovery effort. That is the true job of the National Guard. In his letter to the congressional delegation, Evers highlighted a few examples of the damage wrought by last week's storms. And hopefully now we have a new head of FEMA, so maybe Mark Wayne will release some money. If the president can see fit to help one of the 50 states that he is supposedly governing. You know, he's supposed to be part of, we're all Americans, right? We're all under his administration. He should be working for everybody, but we'll see if we can get a little money this time. As again, the denial in August really put things on their heels here in Wisconsin. In other news you need to know, or other S you need to know, Kash Patel is suing The Atlantic. Yes, he's suing The Atlantic and reporter Sarah Fitzpatrick over a story that alleged Patel has, quote, alarmed colleagues with episodes of excessive drinking and unexplained absences. That's why you went to HR about me, isn't it, Parker? Except I'm always here. I find out. I have spies. The defamation suit filed Monday morning in a U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia seeks $250 million in damages. Okay, Cash. The Athletic calls the suit meritless. We stand by our reporting on Kash Patel, and we will vigorously defend The Atlantic and our journalists against this meritless lawsuit, a spokesman for The Atlantic told CNN, which I think is great. We've seen too many media companies bend the knee and acquiesce to the demands of this administration. So good for The Atlantic for standing up for their reporter and for their story. In the suit, it states that some of the statements in the article falsely assert that Patel is a habitual drunk, unable to perform duties of his office, is a threat to public safety, is vulnerable to foreign coercion, has violated DOJ ethics rules, is unreachable in emergencies, has required the deployment of breaching equipment to extract him from locked rooms. Sorry. I'm locked in the bathroom. Come get me. Hold on, sir. He allows alcohol to influence his public statements about criminal investigations and behaves erratically. Defamation cases often fall apart because the plaintiffs fail to prove actual malice. Man, oh man. Now, I'm sure they have documentation and receipts for all of these claims in this story, or they wouldn't have published them. The Atlantic's not going to make that mistake. But what do you think? Do you think Cash understands that in a lawsuit there's a discovery phase, and to prove defamation you have to prove actual malice and that these statements are false? So all they have to do is prove they're not false. Well, Patel's lawyers say The Atlantic ignored pre-publication denials. They failed to take even the most basic investigative steps that would have easily refuted their claims and showed clear editorial animus against Patel. The Atlantic, however, has positioned the article as being thoroughly reported and carefully written in a manner that compromises national security. Patel has sued two times in the past. One was dismissed. One case was dismissed, and the other case was dropped. So we'll see what happens when discovery starts. This should be that list again is just crazy. The list of assertions allegedly against Kash Patel. I'll throw the in the allegedly because I don't see Civic back in my play. If I say something and Kash Patel decides to sue us, I'm out the door and on my own. All right, more S you need to know. Wisconsin businesses could recoup millions in illegal tariff money. That's good news, right? Businesses in Wisconsin and across the country can now apply for refunds for the money they paid in Trump administration tariffs that were struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court in February. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, or CBP, launched a new system Monday to allow importers to apply for their share of $166 billion. What's your share of $166? 28 cents. That amount, $166 billion, was paid in tariffs that were later deemed illegal by the Supreme Court. The new Consolidated Administration and Processing of Entries system, known as CAPE, already faced technical troubles on Monday morning due to high traffic volumes, according to Main Street Alliance. Why does that not surprise me either? Nothing that this administration does is thought through well enough, and I'm sure they didn't think they were going to get as much traffic. Now, every business that is owed tariff money is going to go on as soon as they can, because people are smart enough to know if I don't get in first, there's a good chance they've already used some of that money and I'm not going to get mine back. But anyway, businesses can only apply for the refund on imports they made directly. So if they purchase goods through a supplier who charged them a higher price due to tariffs, that added cost for the business will not be refundable. Businesses of all sizes are still paying tariffs that are separate from those deemed illegal by the Supreme Court. You know, there was the universal 10% tariff put on things, and suppliers have a whole different way to try to get their money back. Here's the bad news, friends. We don't get our cuts back. So, yes, prices went up. We had to pay more because of the tariffs. But since we're not directly paying the tariff, we're paying the business that directly paid the tariff. The money doesn't come to us. Doesn't quite seem fair. Again, putting the American people first, he said with tongue firmly in cheek. Okay, final piece of S you need to know. Appleton approves emergency homeless shelter despite neighbor concerns. BSC Companies, Inc., a nonprofit ministry operating as Providence Promise, secured a special use permit for an emergency homeless shelter in downtown Appleton, but not before neighbors aired concerns with the operation. Providence Place Shelter will be established at 314 North Appleton Street and will serve as many as 50 people per night during extremely cold weather. The shelter is designed to supplement services provided by Pillars, and the goal is to open this new emergency shelter in December when the severe cold comes. Appleton requires a special use permit for shelters in the Central Business District. The Common Council approved the permit on April 15th by a 14-0 vote. Now, prior to this vote, there were some concerns, as I mentioned, from neighbors. Steve and Colleen Carroll, owners of Rookie's Sports Bar and Grill at 325 North Appleton, expressed concern for the safety of their customers and staff. They suggested the shelter find another location. I don't know Rookie's Sports Bar and Grill. It seems like it'd be a fine place. I don't know if a homeless shelter is going to be that dangerous, especially because it's smaller than, you know, it's 50 people a night. Once they reach their limit, people will be turned away. But, you know, that was for the Common Council to hear. That's, if you have a concern, that's why you go to these meetings. So good for them for going. Marissa Downs is the owner of Rise Apartments. It's a 48-unit affordable housing community that shares a lot line with the shelter property, also voiced concerns. She requested that the shelter's operation plan be expanded to include a good neighbor agreement to minimize issues. Now, a good neighbor agreement, for those of us who were not familiar, defines expectations before conflicts occur and provides a framework for incidents when they arise. So it sounds like a reasonable plan. Despite those concerns, again, the Common Council did approve the emergency homeless shelter there in Appleton. All right, when we come back, we will play Swipe or Stay. Once again, Parker gets his vote, and Frank, all puffy-chested and full of his own power, gets to decide the ties. And if you were here yesterday, you know which way he goes. Don't forget, you can always check out our new social media platforms. Go to Instagram and Facebook and search Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. If you want to hear podcasts of things you have missed, you can go to civicmedia.com.gov.us.
U.S. You can do it.
I still don't understand that. Civicmedia.us. You can do all that. And then don't forget to download the Civic Media app to listen to us wherever you go, because who wouldn't want us just everywhere if you are? This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, hi. I was waiting for
Hey,
Frank
you're
to
the host.
Talking. Yeah, I am the host. I forget sometimes. Well, you told us yesterday not to let the host have too much power. Hi, I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak, and it's time for Swipe or Stay, Frank.
It is. I'm really excited for this one. I'm more excited than I was yesterday, to tell
really?
You the truth. Well,
thank goodness you won't get vetoed.
It's been a slow celebrity news weekend.
All right.
But we've got a couple of things. Also, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been giving recommendations for this bachelor party I have to plan. Remember, the criteria are needs a golf course and it needs a place to hike. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC if you want to join in and give me a recommendation of where to have this bachelor party. But in the meantime, Brian and Parker, yes, we're going to play Swipe or Stay, so I'm going to give you some vague pop culture headlines. You each get to decide whether to stay on the topic or swipe on to the next one. In the event of a tie, we're probably just going to read the story because I get to be the tiebreaker. And I need to fill airtime. So with rip. That, I know. I am all powerful, Brian. I don't know what else to tell you.
Oh, trust me, I get
story
it.
Story number one we didn't get to yesterday. A legendary sports couple are calling it quits.
Legendary sports couple. I'll stay.
I don't even know what sports couple this could be. I'll stay.
Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird are officially breaking up after 10 years as a couple.
Why?
They said, after a lot of thought, we've made the decision to separate as a couple. This hasn't been an easy decision, but it's one we've made together with so much love, respect, and care for each other. We've shared a whole life over the last decade through big moments and in quiet ones, and that is something we'll always carry with us. In addition to their relationship ending, their podcast, A Touch More, is also ending with that.
Oh, no.
I know. Not a surprise there. I know.
I love that they had that. And yes, we are ending our podcast.
But you should have kept the podcast. That's what the people want.
Sure.
Two separated people. Well, Parker, you know, here, let me peel back the curtain for everybody.
Okay, yeah. Frank.
All right. It's exciting.
For radio shows, now ours is a news talk show, so we want to keep people informed and have healthy debate. But there is what we call internal conflict, which is good for a show to have because that creates entertainment.
Are you saying that divorce conflict is fantastic let me tell for you. Content?
Yes. Let me tell you something.
That's a low
If
low,
you want
Frank.
An electric podcast, be with your ex. I think it would create great content. It would solve the conflict and tension problem like that.
Really?
That's a good point.
All right. Well,
Parker, would you like to host a podcast with your ex-girlfriend?
Not particularly, no.
But it would be good.
For some people.
There you go. I stand by that. Moving on, a presidential production company is leaving Netflix.
Pass. Swipe.
Yeah, swipe.
There's only one president who ever worked with Netflix, we know.
Who?
Obama.
This is true. Okay.
Bye-bye.
We have a pop star's property stolen at Coachella.
What? How could that be? I'm staying.
That doesn't sound good. I'm staying.
It's a breach of trust.
Yeah.
So here's the part that really sucks. This was a guest star for one night of Coachella. It wasn't an actual performer.
Oh, horrible odds.
The queen of pop, Madonna, had her clothes stolen after appearing on stage with Sabrina Carpenter.
Did she have to walk away wearing Sabrina's like bedazzled towel?
No, it would be like, dude, do you know how short that thing would be? I think Madonna even has like 5 inches of height on Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, Sabrina Carpenter, I think, is...
She's 5 foot she's nothing. Teeny.
Yeah.
And that might even be a stretch. So Madonna posted and said, still flying high since Friday night at Coachella. This full circle moment hits different until I discovered that the vintage pieces that I wore went missing. My costume that was pulled from my personal archives, jacket, corset, dress, and all other garments. These aren't just clothes. They are part of my history. Other archival items from the same era went missing as well. She is now offering a reward for those clothes' safe return. I'm hoping and praying that some kind soul will find these items and reach out to my team.
How did anybody have access to backstage into Madonna's stuff?
Well, and I think that's the main question. It's like, do you remember when Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey went missing?
Yes.
Like immediately after winning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, who the hell got access to this locker room and was able to leave with that? The Super Bowl's a level one Homeland Security event. Like, there's no way it happened. But people find a way.
Crooks are going to crook, Frank.
And it's crazy to me I love that Madonna was like, let me go into my bag to one of my really legendary outfits and wear it. Should've probably changes out dress. And comes out and boom, they're gone.
Oops.
With Dennis Rodman.
Wah, wah, wah. No, or like a virgin MTV Music Award wedding dress.
Yeah, I wasn't alive for that.
Well, okay. I was, and it was
a former mob boss's grandson is set to serve time.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm in.
I love a mob boss story.
You know, I play to my audience, and I just had a feeling that this would catch you guys. You know, it's not all pop stars and glitter here on Swiper Stack.
Well,
we gotta get nitty and gritty sometimes. So don't worry, this isn't anything too salacious. But the Teflon Don, John Gotti's grandson, is sentenced to 15 months behind bars.
Wow.
Carmine Agnello, grandson, will do time for scamming the federal government out of $1.1 million in COVID relief funds.
Oh.
In 2020, he applied for at least 3 COVID relief loans for his auto parts business and used over $400,000 of it to invest in crypto.
Of course, crypto. It's always crypto.
Oh, God. I love that he's followed in the family business. Good for him.
But not like, let me just commit COVID relief fraud.
Frank, you got to start somewhere. The kid's off to a stellar start in the world of crime.
That's Swiper Stay.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure. When we come back, the filmmakers behind the brand new Bob Uecker documentary, Uke. You don't want to miss this. We'll be back with more. It is Daybreak.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back to Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie's on vacation. Well, it's baseball season, and for the last couple years, it's been a little sad when you go to AmFam Field, or if you're listening to the game and you don't hear Bob Uecker's voice, because for over a more than 60-year career, Bob Uecker was not only Mr. Baseball for his legendary work in the Brewers broadcast booth, but he was also a national star. He used his quick wit and humor to go from major league backup catcher to become an actor, a talk show fixture, and now the subject of a brand new documentary called Uke. It made its world premiere last Thursday at the Milwaukee Film Festival, and I am joined by the men behind that film, Steve Farr and Michael Vollman. They are the directors, the filmmakers that brought this film to life. They're also Milwaukee residents and grew up rooting for the Brewers, and they join me now. Guys, first of all, congratulations on the film and the world premiere last week, and thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Thanks for having us.
All right, thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome. And either one of you, feel free to jump in on this one, because unlike some documentaries that are made after the subject has passed on, you guys had the privilege of being with Bob Uecker for the last 3 years of his life. So was it hard to convince Uke to let you follow him around with a camera and be the subject of a film, or did it come easy for him and for you guys?
You know, it was easier, I think, than we thought it was going to be. I had worked on it. September Club, our production company, had a development meeting, and that was probably in the fall of 2022. We were trying to come up with some local subject to do a documentary about, because it'd be relatively easy to do it because we live in Milwaukee, and we wanted to do something maybe that showed the community in its best light and that type of thing. And Bob Uecker came up as an option, and we just jumped at it because we thought this would be great. I think Michael originally didn't think it was going to be possible or might be difficult, but we did have a connection with him because I had worked on an ALS PSA with him during COVID. So anyway, we got through to him, and he said, let's get together in Scottsdale. And so we did that in December of 22. Had a lunch that, lasted, we thought it'd be an hour and a half, and ended up being, I think, 4.5 hours, something like that. And it turned out he had already done his homework on us. He had vetted us. And so I think his mind was, as long as he didn't hate us, I think he had already decided that we were probably the right people to work with. So that was great. It was a terrific lunch, and from there,
it was
down to shooting.
It was a great, amazing experience, because it was a documentary that a lot of people had talked about making, but it seemed like you know, a dream project that maybe we would never be able to do. And then suddenly we're like on an airplane, our airplane flying down to Arizona and meeting with them. And it happened really fast. Like, is we got a hold of them and suddenly we're shooting this documentary. So wow.
Now, Bob Uecker, cool. Obviously in Wisconsin, legendary, and he's known nationwide, worldwide. What is it about his story that made him such a fascinating subject for a documentary? Michael, you could start with this one.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, as we started doing research, and we knew a lot about him, but realizing how many lifetimes he lived in his career. I mean, being a professional baseball player, and then doing stand-up comedy and ending up on the Johnny Carson show. I mean, that itself is kind of amazing. And the fact that he was on that show more than almost anybody in the history of The Tonight Show. And then to kind of become part of the zeitgeist and some of his catchphrases and things like from the Miller Lite commercials, I must be in the front row, and yep. Just a bit outside from Major League. I mean, some of his catchphrases became part of the zeitgeist. So we knew all those things, but wanted to connect all the dots and then also introduce the audience to a more personal side of Uke, which, you know, get to know him a little bit more.
Well, the really personal side came because you were filming the documentary when Bob got his cancer diagnosis. How did that change, if it did at all, the direction of the film? You guys had a plan when you went in, but how did this make you have to adjust? And how did he adjust to now all of a sudden dealing with this news and also having a camera crew following him around?
Right. Well, yeah, it was relatively early. I can't remember exactly, but I imagine it was, you know, early in the 2023 season, you know, maybe in May or something, that Bob gave me a call and told me what was up. And, you know, I just kind of said, well, you know, what does that mean for the documentary? We'll do whatever you feels right. And he said, well, you know, just I may not have as much time to spend with you guys, but we had shared a just a list of different scenarios and things that we were going to try to do with him. And it was probably 10, 12, you know, items long. And he just said, you know, we're not gonna be able to do them right away, everything right away, but I'm going to try to, you know, knock everything off the list. And you know, we didn't do everything, but we did enough. And all the time that we had with him was amazing.
And Michael, what you chose 2024, that season, to make it kind of the backbone of the film. How did that work to lay the rest of the narrative around? Why the 2024 season?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. Number one, I mean, the Brewers have been very good, you know, over the course of the last decade, I'd say. And that's amazing. And there was, I think in the back of a lot of people's minds was the thought, will Bob Uecker see a World Series? You know, everybody was hoping that could happen. So that was one of the reasons. The other reason was just because to see Bob do what he does and to see him fighting through this cancer diagnosis. I mean, the fact that he went to the ballpark as often as he did and called so many games, I mean, is phenomenal. I think letting fans sort of see how dedicated, how much he enjoyed the ballpark, how much it was a refuge from other personal things in his life, those were all important. And that kind of made it obvious to sort of make the 2024 season part of that narrative.
Steve Farr and Michael Volman are my guests. They are the filmmakers behind Uke, the new documentary about Bob Uecker. You can go to ukemovie.com. So you guys interviewed for the film a lot of really high-profile baseball folks, and they all had glowing things, obviously, to say about Bob Uecker. Were any of their stories a surprise to you where you went, oh, we didn't think you were going to say something like that? Did anything jump out? Oh, I stumped the band.
Yeah, you may have stumped the band.
They haven't heard that one yet. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Wait, we didn't rehearse for this one. No. Yeah, I don't know if there was anything super surprising. I think, and you know, one of the nice things with it is that it was more, it confirmed a lot of our thoughts about Bob, and like you can't, sometimes they say you don't want to meet your heroes, right? And in this case, you know, Bob was kind of everything we hoped he would be. And in the interviews, the people, you know, a lot of people just got emotional. I mean, when we would kind of always ask the question, you know, Bob's 90, you know, he's not going to do this forever. You know, what's that day going to be like? And everybody would pause. And I kind of have a hard time answering that question.
Yeah, a lot of tears. You'll see a little bit of that question.
Film. Yeah.
So I mentioned that the film had its world premiere last Thursday at the Milwaukee Film Festival. You also showed a 20-minute preview on opening day at AmFam Field for lifelong Brewers fans and Milwaukee guys. Tell me about that experience, both of those experiences, and what it meant to you to see this work and tribute to Bob Uecker come to life.
I mean, to be on the field to show that preview was pretty cool. I mean, we were literally standing on the field. And so, you know, we've had the opportunity to go on the field a little bit shooting and stuff like that. So it's always an amazing moment. It's sacred ground, it kind of feels like. But to see the reaction of people in a 20-minute excerpt, to see how, you know, how much laughter there was, and then how there was tears and laughter, and just people really seeming to enjoy themselves and glowing. I mean, that was amazing. And then to have the premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival, there's, you know, those two great institutions of Brewers baseball and Milwaukee Film Festival has become such a great institution in Milwaukee. And then see my two loves of baseball and film coming together was just an amazing, amazing night.
How about for you, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a night to remember. I mean, this is something I've had a production company, Purple Onion, in Milwaukee for 39 years, you know, doing mostly marketing work. And so, you know, I didn't anticipate doing this at this point in my life. And so it was kind of great to be around friends and family and, you know, just seeing how well the film went over. It kind of like, you know, it hit in all the right spots, everything we kind of hoped it would do, it did do. And then to see, you know, to share that evening with the Uecker family and members of the Milwaukee Brewers and to see how moved they were by the film. And well, I think we've been talking about the tears and the sadness, but there's so much laughter. And so that was just really gratifying to be, you know, around 1,000 people. It was two theaters. Wow. That were packed that night. So we had to do multiple introductions, and the Q&A went great with Josh Maurer. So I don't know. It was just kind of a perfect evening.
It sounds terrific. Now, when somebody is in our homes as much as Bob Uecker was, you know, for 60 years, whether it's listening to Brewers games or seeing him on TV, we feel like we know him. Is there one thing that you think viewers of Uke, the documentary, are going to be surprised by? Because we all think we know Bob Uecker's story, but there's got to be something, right?
I think the one thing that we always heard the story about when Bob was in the 1964 World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals, and there was an incident where he had picked up a tuba and picked, you know, some the band was on the field. He's picked up the tuba and he started trying to shake fly balls with with the tuba, and you know, kind of put some dents in it. And it was gets a lot of laughs, and there's some amazing pictures and everything. But as we did interviews, we kind of realized that actually that was something that he regretted, because the manager didn't like that too much, and basically decided he wouldn't be playing in the World Series.
Yikes.
And so that was something that surprised us. You know, he does play a lot of things as laughs, but that was a regret I think he had, that he picked up the tuba.
Well, that makes sense. Before we let you guys go, any plans for distribution? Where, if people miss the world premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival, where can they see Uke?
Well, right now we've got a deal with Marcus Theaters to do a statewide exclusive release. It should be in most theaters, the Marcus Theaters, in July.
Nice.
Probably late in July. And, you know, we'll see what happens after that. Certainly we're, you know, open to a streaming deal, and, you know, maybe there's some film festivals down the road. But right now, I mean, the easiest way will be to wait until July and check it out at one of your Marcus Theaters.
Well, it sounds great, and I saw the teaser, and everything looks terrific. Congratulations on a wonderful project and a very fantastic tribute to a legend here. Steve Farr and Michael Volman are the men behind Uke Movie. It's just called Uke, but go to ukemovie.com and you can learn all about it and find out. Gentlemen, thanks for being here today. Congratulations again and continued success with the film.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
You are very welcome. All right. Well, listen, wait till July. Make your plans now. I'm sure you'll be able to buy your tickets in advance, because if based on the film festival, the showings will sell out. So get there. Big meteor shower. We're going to talk about that and so much more when we come back on the other side. Again, ukemovie.com is where you can find all the information about the documentary. 750. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the City Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin Wakes Up Here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Glad you're with us everywhere along the network. And if you are listening on WMDX, like Tom is in Jackson, we will be saying goodbye to you at the top of the hour unless you listen to the Civic Media app. You can download that quickly for free, and then you can listen to us in the final hour if you decide that today's not the day you want to stick with Stephanie Miller and you want to see what we're up to in the final hour of the program. You can do that again. Just download that free Civic Media app, and oh my goodness, I will follow you everywhere. It'll be a little creepy at first, but you'll get used to it. Yeah. You listen. You can listen to me.
I never thought of it that way.
Well, imagine, Parker, if you're, you know, getting out of the shower, listening to the app, and there I am. Yeah. You're taking your kids to school. There I am.
Yeah. Your soothing voice narrating the day.
My dulcet tones getting you ready for another fantastic Tuesday here in the Dairyland of America, Wisco.
Lovely.
I still don't call it Wisco.
No one calls
never
it Wisco.
Never call it Wisco.
Nope.
We were talking about the Bob Uecker documentary. Ukemovie.com is where you can go to find out. And again, it'll be at Marcus Cinemas throughout the state in July. So keep your eye open if you want to see that. Right now, that is, obviously with any film, they're working on other things. But at least you know that you can see it in July at the theater with like-minded folks. That'll be a lot of fun. And Tom, who I mentioned was listening on WMDX, says, summer's just not the same without hearing you call the Brewers games. And Tom, you are not alone in that feeling. We were all fascinated by space a couple weeks ago with Artemis II. Remember that? Oh, man, we sent people up past the moon, the farthest that a human being has ever gone around the moon. I'm still all a Twitter about it. I loved it. Well, now this is another celestial event that you can be part of. The Lyrids meteor shower is coming, and you'll be able to watch it from Wisconsin. But my question to you is, whether it's the Northern Lights, whether it's a meteor shower, all of these things, what is your favorite place to stargaze? Maybe you have a dark place near you. You might want to keep it a secret, but we'd love it if you shared it with us. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because we're all going to be looking skyward starting tomorrow on Earth Day. Wisconsin Sky Watchers will have their best chance to see the annual Lyrids Meteor Shower on Earth Day, which is tomorrow, and the forecast could set up for an especially striking display this year. Now, the meteor showers, the Lyrids showers, usually last from April 15th to the 29th, but they're going to peak on April 21st and 22nd this year. That's today and tomorrow. Tomorrow is Earth Day. Under ideal conditions, the Lyrids shower rains down 10 to 15 meteors per hour. I have never seen a meteor shower, but I want to. Yeah. I will be out tomorrow night. The Lyrids fall on a waxing crescent moon just before midnight on April 21st into 22nd, when the moon sets before morning and the sky will be the least obscured. According to the Milwaukee Clear Sky Chart, Wednesday, April 22nd, we'll have almost zero cloud cover all day and night, setting up a great view for those who can get away from light pollution. That's always the tricky part. Now, the good news is, in Wisconsin, especially for the Northern Lights, there were a lot of places just outside any city or town where it gets really dark really fast. So, everybody, we all should be able to get a good look if we can. So the Lyrnus are remnants of Comet C1861G1. That's your favorite comet, isn't it, Parker?
That is. It's the only one I can remember the name of.
Sure, the Comet C1861G1, Thatcher. When Earth comes into contact with the comet's debris stream every April, the debris creates a meteor shower in the atmosphere. I did not know any of that. So, how should you watch it here in Wisconsin? It will start to become visible once the Vega constellation rises.
Of course.
There's like three people who go, all right, check.
Yep.
And everybody else is like, huh? Well, the Vega constellation will rise above the northeast horizon, usually between 9 and 10 o'clock. That makes it easier for 90% of us or more. Oh, 9 to 10 o'clock. I understand that part.
Hey.
The best viewing period will be right before dawn. So when we're coming to work.
Perfect.
Yeah, when we're coming to work.
There we go.
The moon is going to be hidden, and the Vega star radiant point is bright overhead. Meteors may be visible all night, but will be most frequent when the radiant point is highest in the sky. If you are an astronomy or a buff, please let us know what any of that means. I will be, because knowing me, I'll be looking to the northwest. I know where the northeast is, so I get.
Yeah.
I know 9 and 10 o'clock and just before dawn. I understand that. I probably
Good.
See. This is where Jamie would have done. Jamie would have had a 5-minute dissertation on the Vega star radiant.
Oh, I'm sure.
Me, yes. I just like to admit that I have no idea what it is, and because quite frankly, I'm a man of the people, Parker. And I think most of the people that I am a man of also don't know what the Vega star radiant is.
My people just say, look up, there's stuff moving up there. And then
you know what?
I get that.
That is the most comprehensive instruction list I have ever heard. And I like it because it's clear. It tells me exactly where I have it. Like, I'm looking down. Is that right? No. I said, look up and turn a little bit to your right. Okay. Now, keep looking up. All right, what am I looking for? Stuff that's moving. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I say if you can't find it, take out the variable of like standing and looking in one direction. Just lay down, look straight up.
Yeah.
That's easiest.
Wow.
I really thought this out, Brian.
You're painting a wake and bake dream. Dude, wow. Just go out in the lawn, go out to the woods, lay down, look up at the sky, man.
Yeah,
things will be swirling about you.
Yeah.
It's a celestial bodies, brah.
Be cool,
just let
man.
Become one with nature. That's how we do. All right, so that's tomorrow night. Good luck. And here's the other thing. You can say you see it even if you didn't because nobody can fact check you.
Oh.
So I do not promote lying, but whatever. Good luck. All right, when we come back, there's headlines, there's stuff you need to know, and there's the big third hour of the broadcast. WMDX, we'll talk to you tomorrow, but you can always listen on the app. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak and Pacific Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.